Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Jesus had strong words for the lukewarm Laodicean church in Revelation chapter 3. Is tough love included a way for them to regain their lost fervor? His rebuke and chastening would lead to renewal and power for them and for us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues a series on what Jesus thinks of his church. We're in Revelation chapter 3, learning about the church at Laodicea and the remedy Jesus prescribes for turning the thermostat back up.
He says, I counsel you, and here's his counsel. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich. Now, of course, he doesn't mean that salvation is something that we pay for. He's using the terminology of the vendors there in Laodicea. He says, I challenge you, come and buy gold from me. We know, of course, that salvation is free. Ho, everyone that thirsts comes to the water. Whoever has a need, come buy milk and wine without money and without price. It's all free. That's a quotation, by the way, from Isaiah chapter 55. And Jesus says, of course it's free, but you want the true riches? You come to me. Now look at the text. What else does he say? Buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you may be rich, and white garments that you may clothe yourselves, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen. What Jesus is saying, you know, is all those wonderful clothes. You know, I'm from Laodicea. Look at the labels, you know. And inside, you have all of those imaginations. Inside, you are selfish. You do not love me with your whole heart. Inside, you are filled with all manner of lusts and addictions and all that. Come to me, and I'll give you some real clothes. I'll give you white garments that will cover your sin. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered, the Bible says. And Jesus says, come to me, and I'll clothe you with white garments so that all of that shame of your past need no longer control you, and it will no longer be regarded by God in your fellowship with me. Come, come, I've got the clothes. And by the way, notice I also have some eye salve, and to anoint your eyes so that you may see. You think that you're seeing today, but you're blind. But if you come to me, I will give you what you need so that you can see reality as it exists. The relationship with Jesus is the answer. And what Jesus is saying is physically and outwardly you're one thing, inwardly you're another, and only I can cure you. How do you get rid of lukewarmness? Well, you get rid of lukewarmness by coming close to Jesus, and he will invigorate you, and he will give you a passion for himself and for his gospel and for his word and for fellowship with him. Notice you say, well, this is a rather hard message. It is, but it's done lovingly. You'll notice what Jesus says in verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline, so be zealous and repent. If the doctor comes to you with some very hard news, news that you don't want to hear, and so he's trying to get your attention and giving you the consequences of neglecting that news, that is a very loving doctor, because he's trying to wake you up and to understand what reality is really all about. And so Jesus says, the reason I'm doing this is because I love you. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Turn from your sin and from all of the sin and self-centeredness that is there, and see yourself as I do, and then come to me, because I've got the cure. Jesus is the one who takes the thermometer and puts it into our mouths and says, you are lukewarm. You're a Christian, but the people who work with you have no clue that you are. You have kept it a secret. You are someone who has responsibility in the home, but really you are doing things on the side that displease the Lord. And that's why all the passion is drained out. All of the excitement is there. You can't witness because you are actually tepid, lukewarm, indifferent to the things that matter the most. And then Jesus gives this incredible invitation. It's one of the most popular verses in the Bible. Behold, I stand at the door. I'm in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and eat with him and he with me. Wow. Can you imagine that? Jesus is saying, I'm at the door of this church. This church that has lost its vigor and its enthusiasm. This church in which all the passion has drained out because of secret sins that are within the heart. Jesus says, I'm standing at the door and knocking. And if anyone, now this is an invitation to individuals. If anyone hears my voice and will open the door, you know what I'll do? I'll restore the fellowship. I'll come and we'll eat together. Jesus said that we'll have fellowship one with another. Can you imagine that? Now, you know, when you come to a church like Moody, and maybe if you're visiting here, you come from a church something like Moody. Though if you think you do, I'd love to meet you. But let's suppose that you come from a church like Moody where we still preach against sin. You know, we're against it. Remember that old line? Who was it? And we have some people here who are actually agreeing that sin is a bad idea. Isn't that wonderful? Wasn't it one of our presidents who went to church and he came home and his wife said, what did he preach on? And he said, sin. And she said, what was his opinion of it? And his answer was simply, he was against it. Why do we preach against sin? What's so bad about sin? Someday I'm going to write a little booklet. What's so bad about sin? Let me tell you what's bad about sin. The thing that's so bad about sin is it cuts us off from fellowship with Jesus. That's the thing that's so bad about sin. It's not even the consequences of how we hurt ourselves. It's not even our ruined lives if we follow it to its logical destination. The thing about sin that is so serious is that the fellowship that we can have with Jesus, that fellowship is broken. That's what sin does. And God himself recognizes that we can grieve him. That's why Paul says in the book of Ephesians, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. You and I have had the experience of leaving church, sensing that we are filled with the Spirit, that we are excited about God, and then we go home, and we turn on the wrong thing on the television set, or we do something, and immediately we know that we're grieving the Spirit, and the fellowship between us and Jesus is broken. That's why it says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from every individual unrighteousness. The reason he does that is to restore fellowship. So Jesus is saying here, behold, I stand at the door and knock. Are you going to turn from your sin to me, or are you going to keep going in your old, indifferent, selfish attitude, not caring about me and the gospel? That's what Jesus is saying in this text. And of course, once he is in our lives, you know, he begins the renovation process. And that can be a very painful experience, but it is so incredibly worthwhile. Now, what is the response? What is the bottom line here? Jesus, in all of these letters, and I feel a little badly that this is the last of the letters. I've so much enjoyed this series of messages. But this is the last of the letters. Jesus gives this incredible promise. Now, each time we've noticed that the promises seem to be getting greater and greater and more wonderful and more unbelievable to the overcomers, or as it is translated here, the conquerors. But listen to the text. And you should bring your Bibles to church. You should open them, if not, use the pew Bible, because if you don't do that, somebody is going to come up to me later and say, "Pastor, you know what you said the Bible said? I don't believe it's there. You must be making it up." Well, I'm not making it up. Listen to what the text says. "The one who conquers," verse 21, "I will grant him to sit with me on my throne, as I also conquered and sat down with my Father on his throne." Jesus, can you be serious? To the one who conquers, it's not just that he's sitting on his throne and he says, "Pull up a chair next to me." What he's saying is, if you are a conqueror or an overcomer, then you will sit with me on my throne. We're talking about the throne of the universe. You'll sit with me on my throne, even as I overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Do you realize what Jesus is saying? You be a conqueror, you be an overcomer, you will get to sit on the throne of God. Do you believe it? Think about it. I mean, we're not worthy for this man to come under our roof. And yet Jesus says that if you invite me to your table in this life, you'll be able to sit with me on my throne in the life to come. You be a part of my family. You invite me as part of your family in this life. In the life to come, you'll be a part of the divine family. He who overcomes, to him I'll grant to sit with me on my throne. See, that's what makes sin so bad, is that you don't get to sit on the throne of Jesus forever and ever and rule with him. That's what makes sin bad.
Well, my friend, today, surely no one would have made this up. The promises that Jesus Christ makes to the churches, the fact that we have the opportunity of ruling with him if we are faithful, that is so mind-boggling. It has to come from Jesus. And thankfully, it does. Because when you read these opening chapters of the book of Revelation, what you discover is that Jesus is speaking to the church, both in rebuke and also giving promises that are mind-expanding. If only we could look into eternity, we would view the things of this life very, very differently. So look around you, because everything that you can see, everything you're going to do today, will someday pass away. Eternity is coming, and eternity is a very, very long time. I'm so glad that you give me this opportunity to come into your life, and in a moment you'll be given some information as to how you can receive these messages and listen to them again and again. We exist to help you in your walk with God.
Erwin Lutzer with more of When Jesus Observes Our Hearts, his final message on what Jesus thinks of his church. Next time, more on what lies ahead for overcomers. What Jesus Thinks of His Church is an 8-part series we'd like to send you on CD. It's our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about what Jesus thinks of his church. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.